Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY20 earnings conference call of UFlex Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Runjhun Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Vikram. Welcome, everyone, to the Q4 FY20 earnings call of the UFlex Limited. We thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. Today, we have with us the senior management of the company, represented by Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, Group CFO, and Mr. Yusuf Nasrullah from Investor Relations. I will now hand over the call to the company management. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Runjhun. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the fourth quarter FY20 earnings call of UFlex Limited. On the call today, as Runjhun said, we have our Group CFO, Mr. Rajesh Bhatia. Our discussions may include predictions, estimates, or other information that might be considered forward-looking. While these forward-looking statements represent our current judgment on what the future holds, they are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. You are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, which reflects our opinion only as of the date of this presentation. Please keep in mind that we are not obligating ourselves to revise the publicly released result of any revision to these forward-looking statements in light of new information or future events. I would also like to emphasize that while this call is open to all invitees, it may not be broadcasted or reproduced in any form or manner. I would now like to invite Mr. Bhatia to share some perspective with you with regard to the company's operations and results for the quarter under review. After that, we will open the call to questions from analysts. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. And a very good afternoon to all the participants on the call. Let me first give a perspective by saying that UFlex is perhaps one of the companies which is unscathed by the coronavirus, and neither in terms of its production facilities nor in terms of its market. So the business has been as usual, and rather because of the COVID, and given that there's a lot of focus on the food and pharma, so there is actually a buoyancy in the packaging films as well as the packaging markets. So Q4, you would have all seen that the standalone EBITDA for the quarter is up about 20% to about 150 crores, and the consolidated EBITDA for the Q4 is also up by about 6%, little over 6% to about 276 crores. For FY20 whole year, the EBITDA is, though reported, is 616 crore, but that includes one non-recurring income of 77 crores, which was reflected in the Q3 results. So if we exclude that, so the normalized EBITDA for the standalone EBITDA is up 12% for the whole year, and while the Q4 EBITDA is up 20% on a standalone basis. The consolidated EBITDA is up 10% for the year, and that's largely due to the better operating margins in BOPP films, BOPET films, and we have seen this year in FY20 that that the value added, which is largely a sales minus a key major raw material, is up by about 35% in India, and value add in the BOPET is up about 12%. Similarly, across other BOPET facilities in the at our various plants, so we've seen that the margins, value addition margins, have been higher from about 7% to about 20% range for the BOPET, and for the BOPP overseas it's about 12%. So this all translates into though a lower net revenue for FY20, which is down about close to about 7%, but this is largely because of the crude price impact and not otherwise. Two factors actually, the crude price impact as well as the impact of the shifting of our Dubai plant, where we lost about 300-350 crore of the top line because of that. And the average crude prices in FY20 fell by about almost 13%, which means that given that about 60% of the key raw material cost is selling price, of the selling price. So that numbers, that explains actually, how the crude prices have affected, the net revenue. Having said that, because the margins, EBITDA margins are better over lower revenue also, so we've seen EBITDA margins for the year as a whole improved on a consolidated basis from about 12.6% in FY19 to 14.9% in FY20. Even the standalone EBITDA margins reflect a much better number. So overall, for the year, if we see FY20, the consolidated PAT is up by 18% to 370 crores, and the standalone PAT for FY20 is up 175% to 143 crores. Of course, this all includes recurring one time also, for which still you will pay tax. And the Q4 consolidated PAT is up almost 44% on a year-on-year basis, and Q4 standalone PAT is up about 93%, which is a normalized sort of a PAT. So then it does not have any one-time recurrence and all that. So overall, a reasonably good performance given the backdrop of the COVID, and which particularly the way we did in India, we actually closed everything, and then but fortunately for us, because we were part of the essential, so we were given timely permissions to keep on operating our facilities. And overseas, of course, because there was no the lockdown wasn't as comprehensive as it was in India, so all the facilities continued to operate, albeit with some some restrictions, but nevertheless the situation was very much manageable. Yes, that meant that we had some additional administrative and logistics challenges, which we handled more so in India, where everything was stopped, and then when you are told that you are essential, so you have the last mile problems, because how does the truck driver will reach the truck? If he will drive, he will be called, he'll be held up at the various barriers, and then he might be hauled up. So there was a bit of a confusion to begin with, but all of this settled down well. On a production and sales number for FY20, while I say that the overall production growth is reflected as -3.7%, so films and the packaging for a FY20 overall, there's a more than 5% growth in the production level. But if we negate the impact of that plant shift to Dubai, actually the volume growth is not even negative in the films. Overall, it will be still plus by about 2.5%. Similarly, for Q4 also, while the overall production growth on a year-on-year basis is -2.6%, but negating the impact of the plant shift is, the overall growth will be about 5% or so. Packaging production growth of 11% in Q4 is highly encouraging. And while the overall packaging volume growth for FY20 is about 5.5%, the packaging sales growth in Q4 is 6.4%, and that's mainly because though the production growth is 10.8%, but the packaging sales growth is 6.4% because towards the end of March, when everything stopped, so the supply chain became a bit of an issue. Otherwise, the packaging sales growth also for the year would have been a higher number than this. On the aseptic packaging, yes, we had a Q4 volume growth of about 150% on a year-on-year basis. And if we talk about FY21 summer season, definitely we would have had the optimum capacity utilization from the plant given our order book. But unfortunately, that was the only area which was impacted by COVID, as the juices and the liquor sales got impacted because of the lockdown. But otherwise, we were on course to achieve almost full capacity utilization, from this plant. That is, on the financials as well as on the production and sales. I can only say that, during the current quarter also, the demand continues to be robust, both for the packaging films as well as for the packaging this quarter, definitely we will see much better volumes both on the packaging film as well as the packaging in the packaging side, as a better improved margins also, because what has happened is when India closed down, the other rest of the countries were still operating, so there was actually no supply, no exports were being made from India. So while all the overseas territories were operating, so there was a additional requirement what was otherwise being met from India. So that additional volumes came our way. That also helped us to improve our prices, to pass on the costs of the additional logistics and the transportation costs to the customers. There was a margin expansion also, which has been observed in the current quarter itself. So, the effect of the BOPED on the demand for the packaging films and the packaging continues to be witnessed in the current fiscal, in the Q1, and we expecting a very good performance by Uflex for the Q1, both for India as well as our overseas business. On the debt side, this year there has been a substantial reduction as well as additions. So during this year, we repaid almost about 400 crores of debt, both for India and overseas. A large part of that repayment was done in India, where we repaid more than about 260 crores of our debt. And given that there is no new projects in India, so there was hardly any addition of any debts. Overall, because we are expanding in some of the foreign jurisdictions, so additional debts have been taken to fund those acquisitions. Happy to inform that our plant shift from Dubai to Russia will get commissioned in the current quarter. Yes, we have some trial runs going on in the previous quarter, in the up to June quarter, but still we are stabilizing that facility. But definitely we will see the volumes coming from that plant in the current fiscal. A part of that will also come in the June quarter, and then we expect that in next 1 month or so we should be finally be able to commission that plant fully, and then our whatever revenues and quantitative numbers we lost out last year, I think we'll make up for that. All other facilities are also at a very advanced stage. So we advanced a few projects like in Poland and all, and I think there'll be some delays in finally the commissioning of these projects a couple of months. But overall, within the current financial year, we will have all the facilities, up and running, which will, and given that the markets are robust now, and also because of this COVID, the customers are now looking at more of a localized solutions rather than depending on imports. So I think all these situations will help us to achieve better realization and better volumes in the local markets where we are, whether in Egypt, Poland, Russia, Dubai, and there'll be less and less people, all the businesses would like to lower their risk of importing, let's say US importing from India or Europe importing from India. So that way, our markets where we are, we sure that we will see definite better volumes as well as the profitability in those markets in the coming year. Aseptic packaging, yes, I said that, the current financial year, summer of 2021, we would have seen the optimum capacity utilization from the plant. So I think we will we be trying to see as to what best we can do. But let's all be clear that there are two very good seasons. One is the summer where people drink a lot of drinks on the go while they are traveling, or because of the heat and all that. And then you have the liquor which generally goes throughout the year, but in the winter's time it is consumed more. So obviously the summer is now gone, and we can't recoup those volumes. But the idea of telling you all this is that in the aseptic business, as there were always questions about as to what are we doing about that, how will we ramp up the numbers over there. So just wanted to give news that yes, in the aseptic packaging also we are we have achieved full capacity utilization for this summer, which unfortunately could not be achieved. So hopefully, you know, in the winters we'll be much better, and in the summer of 2021, I think we will go ahead and even order our next line to double up our capacity over there. So that's basically sums up our performance for this quarter. Extremely satisfying performance on every front, whether it is the volumes, whether it is the cost reductions, or whether it is completion of some of our projects, which we will see happening in the current financial year. So with that, I sum up my narration to you in terms of how's been the Q4 and how we have performed in the financial year 2020. And I'm open to any questions that the participants may have.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the attached on telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star one. We have a first question from the lineup, Chirag Singhal from First Water Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. First of all, congrats on a good set of numbers, sir. Just a couple of questions. First, can you give separately the tentative startup months for Hungary, Nigeria, and Poland?
I think we will see. Russia and Poland now happening in this quarter, and others in the Q3.
Okay. And is there any residue capex left for these three projects?
So I think most of the residue projects, yes, there'll be some things left. Only then we are talking about that, you know, they're getting completed in the Q3.
So how much will that be?
I think should be close to about $50 million.
Okay. All right. Okay, and now next question is on the flexible packaging. We saw good growth, especially in the Q4 in this segment. So what kind of volume growth you are expecting in the FY21? And we also saw, which you also highlighted in the opening commentary, that the margins expansion which happened in the Indian business was quite good. So what kind of margins are expecting for FY21 as well?
So I think overall, if we see, what we have achieved in FY Q4, a margin of about 15.5% in on a standalone, and about 15.6% in the at a consolidated level. I think Q1 of the current financial year for sure will have a margin expansion. How sustainable is that because of the COVID? Is that what we'll have to see? But let's not forget that both the BOPET and the as I said that if we see the BOPET margins increased actually by about 12% even in the FY20, and BOPP margins by about 35% in the current financial year. So I think it's important that as to what we achieved in FY20, we sort of somehow maintain those. Q1 definitely is going to be better than that, but Q2 onwards, I think we will have to see. Overall, blended for the year, if we can still achieve 16% margins, I think we'll be good.
Okay, and on the volume front, sir, for the flexible packaging,
we should expect about 7 to 8% growth in the current financial year.
Okay.
On the flexible packaging.
Okay. And so on the aseptics, you mentioned quite a growth in the Q4. Is it possible to give the capacity utilization and revenues in quarter four and for FY20?
I think we will have issues in sort of giving that because of the competitions. All that I can say is that, you know, we are very close to achieving the full capacity utilization of that plant. So that should give you enough this thing that, you know, we were actually on course to do almost at more than 95% capacity utilization during the summer period.
In Q4, by the end of Q4.
So starting from March to March, April, May, June, July. So these are the, you know, largely the summer months in which, you know, the consumption is quite high.
Okay. So you mentioned that as we would have lost majority of our summer sales due to the lockdown and all. So liquor, how much does that constitute to our overall aseptic order book or overall aseptic sales?
So liquor, as of now, we contributes a significant amount, and then number two is juice. I would say liquor would be about 60% and juice would be about 40%. And liquor definitely got affected because, you know, all the factories were closed, and even after that, you know, there was a kind of a situation where, you know, for a large period of time when the, you know, the liquor shops didn't open and all that. And normally, you know, the liquor goes more with when you're outside home. Though those things will also change, but yes, liquor sales does get affected because of the COVID hugely.
Okay, so as you said that we were almost near to our optimum capacity utilization, we would have made plans to start the second line as well?
So we were planning to order second line somewhere in the month of, in the Q3. So, you know, by the time we would have reached Q3, we would have pretty much known as to, you know, while you are doing a peaking out in the summer months, as to how does the rains as well as the period after the rains, you know, how do you perform in that? And then depending on that, we should have, you know, really looked at ordering another line printing in Q3. And so let's see as to, there'll be some delay therein. We've not still yet decided as to, you know, how do we do that? When do we do that? But surely that is on the cards to happen.
Okay. One last question from my side, sir. The equipment suppliers credit, is that included in the borrowings, which are, so this borrowings, or is it separately shown? If yes, then how much will it be?
There's no equipment supplier credit. It's all that, you know, whatever are the loans we have drawn and whatever is all included in the borrowing. There's nothing else which is part of, outside of this.
Okay. So you said the incremental capex will be around $50 million for the upcoming expansion. So we'll see a further surge in borrowings, or?
Yeah. There'll be some additional borrowings during the current fiscal. I think we still remain to draw about 50-60 millions of existing facilities which we got approved for our projects in the coming financial year.
Okay.
In the current fiscal.
All right. Okay. All right, so that's it from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Om Agarwal from Balaji Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. We are looking to the financial results. Why there is the borrowing cost, the interest cost, financial cost not getting reduced in spite of good cash flow?
No, it is getting reduced as the loans are getting repaid.
Last year's finance cost is 218 crores roughly, and the next year is around 225 crores.
Okay, so you have to
and the turnover is also reduced. Turnover is also revenue is also reduced.
No. So the last year, while the loans were drawn because the projects were underway, some of the interest costs would have got capitalized also. So, but now everything comes to hit the P&L only. So that effect will always be there, no?
Yes, last year some.
So actually, last year, capitalized. Last year would have got capitalized. So you would not see that in P&L. But the total interest outgo last year versus total interest go would be more than the current year.
Since the rate of interest is also going down.
Yeah.
And the cash flow, the finance cost must get reduced.
Projects, so there are certain project costs which does not hit the profit and loss account.
So is it, the expansion, new projects which are getting commissioned like that?
So last year we had some projects which were getting still commissioned. And that is why cost of those borrowings would have got capitalized while they come to in the profit and loss account in the current year.
Sir, do you have any further questions?
This cash flow, this interest rate must, interest cost should go substantially.
Nahin, usme, while you are seeing that the GSEC is going down and all that, but please appreciate that we are borrowing from the banks, and while RBI has been reducing the interest rates, but those being passed on by the banks to the clients is not that seamless, and the banks have been passing on very trickily.
Good cash flow as well, no? But the company has a good around 700 to 800 cash flow is there. So with that cash, this cash flow, the dividend is also not high. The dividend payout is also not much high. So with this cash flow, retained cash flow, interest finance cost must go substantially down.
So as I said, that last year approximately about 400 crores is what we have repaid.
Yes. Okay.
So we had an EBITDA of 1100 crores. Then we had taxes. 400 crores of this plus some additional normal capex which we keep on doing the year. So the entire cash flow is definitely there, but you understand the concept of MCLR.
Fresh investments are there.
1 year MCLR, when your bank has fixed that, let's say in the month of November, so till the next November month, that will continue. So any change in the MCLR will come to hit you only after the end of the 1 year.
After that time, that period.
But while we see in the news that it is happening instantly.
It's not coming into effect.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Vaibhav Bajatia from HNI Investment. Sir, I'm sorry to interrupt. There's a lot of disturbance coming from your line. Could you please use the handset?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, this is fine. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So, you have indicated that there will be a bit of a, margin tailwinds that is there in the current quarter, which is June ending quarter. So is it more coming from BOPP or BOPET? From which segment you are seeing?
We are a very large BOPET player, but we are very small in the BOPP segment category. While there'll be expansion in both the things, but the more impactful for us is BOPET. And as I said that the Russia trial runs have started, the And we be seeing that, you know, the you know, in the current quarter we will have Russia as well as Poland getting commissioned. So from that perspective, the volumes will be much higher, both in the current quarter as well as in the Q2 of the current financial year. So, but as the our volumes on the BOPET side are higher, so obviously, you know, that makes more impact to us.
Yeah, but if you leave the mix aside, are you seeing that BOPET improvement in BOPET margin is much more than BOPP margin, or
no,
or it is vice versa?
Like it's not like that. See, BOPET, as I said, that, you know, FY19 was a time when BOPET hit almost the very low, and that is where, when I said in FY20 in the BOPET margins we've seen a 35% kind of a growth, while in the BOPET we've seen a 12% growth in FY20. So I think now more or less, you know, the BOPET, which was lagging behind because of some of the excess capacities which got installed, is now finding its feet back to be at a normal curve.
Got it. So that's for the upcoming quarter. But from a relatively longer term perspective, I'm sure, you know, it is very hard to project demand in this environment. But on the supply side, are you seeing any significant disruption due to COVID, either in Indian plants or global plants, due to COVID, which can significantly derail the supply side of either BOPP or BOPET?
Not at all. See, again, what depends is that, you know, how much initiative you have. Like, you know, when, because of the COVID, you know, people close their plants, and while, you know, we kept on working, so everybody in the country, you know, closed their plants because, you know, people could not travel to plant, people could not travel to offices, because, you know, the person on the local you know, checkpoint does not know as to what does it mean. But I think we worked overtime, our team worked overtime to get the necessary permissions, to get the passes issued and all that. So with the result that I think our overall facilities were only closed for a couple of days only. And also, that also because of the fact that, you know, there was no transportation movement happening. And so even if we produce, and even if the local markets are, local customers are not buying because they are closed, so we had a huge opportunity to export that stuff also if we are operating. While we did all that, but, you know, there was some movement at which, you know, simply you keep on producing and it's not getting dispatched. So the dispatch situation took a few days to settle. But, you know, largely during all this period, so except for a couple of days in the month of March, when, you know, we stopped the things, otherwise we've been producing at the maximum capacity at all our plants, and you will see those numbers in the current quarter when we will present those numbers. I'll try to see that, you know, to the stock exchanges we can announce up to June quarter production and the dispatch volumes, you know, as soon as possible. So that will give more, you know, sort of insight to the investors as to what are the kind of growth we are talking about.
Yeah, actually, I was coming from a relatively longer term perspective on the installation of new capacities, which can probably, you know, which can probably allow us to have higher margin for a longer term, rather than just one or two quarters. So, are you seeing any disruption in new capacities coming up due to COVID? That's what I wanted to understand.
New capacities coming up due to COVID. No, I think
any disruption in the new capacities, like, you know, if somebody is not able to commission his plant in a timely manner, then that can create a supply side disruption which can last for 6 months or a year or something like that.
Okay. From that perspective, you are saying, so
yeah,
that obviously will happen. that, you know, whosoever is setting up new facilities and if the movement of the people is impacted. Like, you know, some of our plants also got a bit delayed only because of the fact that, you know, the technicians who have to come and install those machines, they could not travel. Those kind of situations will keep on happening, and, you know, in certain situations we even did the commissioning through on the video phones also. So we installed cameras and all that, and, you know, some of the people, some of their technical staff were guiding from there, and that's where, you know, we could commission, especially in Russia where we were really, the team really did a great job in ensuring that, you know, they start with the trial runs and all that.
Got it. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have next question from the line of Dirk Skammer from OLB Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Hello, Mr. Bhatia.
Hi.
Very great performance. We really like it. I just have one question. As you were elaborating on the supply chain, so that you had also outlined that some of your customers seems to now buying more locally than depending on imports. As Uflex is a global company and is exporting on a global scale, could this kind of behavior, saying that some of your customers are looking more for purchasing locally to avoid imports, could that be in the long run maybe lead also to a decision that Uflex might expand in some other regions of the world where you are not present at the moment?
So I think the localization is definite play now, given a COVID situation and the associated, the supply chain disruptions which have happened. The customers are preferring to buy local, even if it is a bit expensive, because they don't want to be out of stocks. And, you know, normally for a country like US, if you want to import from India, you have to plan 3 months in advance. For Europe, it will be lesser than that, but, you know, that's the kind of, time frame you have to set. So the customer also needs to stock more. But, you know, if you're present locally, you're buying locally, then, you know, you can order your, you can just keep a day's or 2 days stock, and you can keep on buying locally, which is not possible in case of distant imports. So, yes, that will give us a huge benefit. But are we planning any additional capacity set up because of that? I think it's too early to say at this moment. I think the endeavor as of now will be to commission the existing plants which we have already under execution, run them, and then plan depending on the situation, not to hurry up into anything just like, you know, because of the COVID. Now if we set up a line in the other jurisdictions where we are and the localization is the game, I don't think so. We going to do that
okay
anytime soon.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you.
We have next question from the line of Mohit Agarwal from India B Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just the first question on Asepto. You said that summer season you were hoping for 100% utilization, never happened because of COVID. And obviously, you're trying to say that there's a seasonality factor which will be there in Asepto. In the winters, the sales will not be that much as summer. So can you give some kind of an indication of if you were expecting 100% utilization summers, what would be the utilization level in, let's say, in
about
the third quarter,
70-80%?
Okay. And you also said that your 60% is alcohol, right?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Because
but that may change because that might So that might change, actually, you know, because as of now, yes, to begin with, we had more of liquor customers and less of juice and the dairy customers. But, you know, those profiles will keep on changing. So that's a current profiling. But definitely, you know, the summertime, the juice will always be a bigger market than the liquor.
Okay. So Russia and Poland is coming on stream hopefully this quarter.
Yeah.
And then you also have Nigeria. And then we also have Asepto, which was obviously unfortunately underutilized. So together, all your, planned CapEx, which are coming on stream this fiscal, plus Asepto, I mean, how much revenue addition you see? Like, I know it's a number, dynamic number. It has a relation to the crude oil price also. But let's say crude oil at $50-$60, how much revenue you think all these facilities, I mean, the new ones together, they should contribute?
Oh, difficult question, and you know, you would. So each plant should actually produce about 4,000 tons a month, and if the price is $2, then is about $8 million a month to. So about $100 million, which should give you a, let's say a 15% EBITDA margin, and. On a relatively reasonable capacity utilization level, each plant.
Right. I mean, exactly. I was asking this question. I just wanted to understand what's the EBITDA contribution we can expect. Obviously, when these facilities.
So each plant between $15 and $20 million.
$15 to $20 million. Okay.
Yeah.
And. I know some questions have been asked on that. You gave us some clarifications on the debt as of now. But can you give us exactly what's the long-term debt right now in India and in outside India? And you said about $50, $60 million is the capex still remaining. So what is the peak long-term debt level we are talking about here?
So currently we have a debt of last year, we had about 960 crores of long-term debt in India. So we paid about 260 crores last year. We added about 29 crores and the net is about 725 crores in India now. Offshore we paid about $18 million last year. And we have added about $220 million we've added for these projects.
Okay, I got it. I know this question has been asked. The previous participant, he asked you this question on the free cash flow, how the company is utilizing the free cash flow. You said at the starting of your, when you were addressing us, that, you know, it's been a very satisfying quarter for you. I mean, it's actually, Uflex has been doing pretty well in the last 4 or 8 quarters. It's been a decent performance. Company's making a decent amount of cash, free cash flows. But it's not been a very satisfying journey for the investors, right? People who have put the money where the mouth is, they haven't been rewarded. My question to you, sir, is that can the company utilize part of this cash flow to buy back? Because at this valuation, even pure play commoditized, film companies like Jindal, Cosmo, even they are at a premium valuation. So I'm not saying, you know, you go out in the market and you buy back like 400-500 crores worth of stock. But the market cap of Uflex is like 1,500-1,600 crores right now. I mean, you do more capex than the market cap of the company here. So all I'm saying is that can we go out and do like 100, 200 crores kind of a buyback, because that easily the company can fund with its yearly cash flows. And if people want to participate, they can participate. Promoters can keep their shares. Whoever wants to be with the company can keep their shares. And that itself will be a very good way of rewarding the shareholders. And I mean, that's one way of company indicating that their interest is also aligned with the investor.
See, currently as we have the expansions going on, so it's difficult to say, but I think once we complete those, definitely it's a thought worth considering that, you know, you should look at some kind of a buyback to give a much better return to the shareholders. Definitely an idea which I think I can take to the board and say that, you know, this is what the investors on the call wanted us to explore. So definitely.
Yes, and just to add to your point, sir, as I mentioned earlier also, I mean, we see Uflex more like a packaging company now. And correct me if I'm wrong, we have 50%. We're moving at least towards a future where 50% of the revenue coming from packaging, not just packaging films. So, I mean, the packaging companies are definitely having a much higher valuation multiples compared to just commoditized filmmaking. But rather, it's the other way right now. You're cheaper than just the commoditized packaging companies, filmmaking companies. So, because the dichotomy is just, you know, increasing, so, you know, it just made more sense, right? So.
No, so we may also consider at an appropriate time segregating the two businesses and giving shareholders the share of both the companies. So I think that could be another way to increase the shareholders' wealth, that you have a separate company who's doing the packaging films and a separate company who's doing packaging.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Sunny Gosar from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, and congratulations, sir, on a very good set of numbers. Sir, I just want to, taking forward the last participant's question in terms of peak debt, what could we see the peak level at, say, from 3,700 crores of gross debt currently?
So I think what we can easily do is March 21 would be, you know, sort of the peak debt. So to the current debt, we can add, say, about $40 million or so more, because there will be some repayments also which will happen in the current financial year. So we can add about $40 million.
Right. Calculating this broadly, assuming that we see even about 15-20% growth on the EBITDA, considering some growth in the underlying business plus the new expansions, so the company as a whole can easily do, say, 1,200-1,250 crores of EBITDA. Mm-hmm. And say we have a interest payout of about 300-350 crores. And some tax.
Because we are adding overseas debt, so there the interest costs are you know, sort of much less.
Sure.
Because even if you see our financials, so if you see the Indian balance sheet, I think while we have debt interest of about 170 crore, I saw the overall is 225 crore. So the overseas debt interest portions are really very small, because you're borrowing at a very competitive, you know, sort of terms over there.
Sure. And assuming some working capital and say about 350 crores of capex, don't you think that we'll be basically free cash flow positive, and rather than debt going up, we can see some kind of debt repayment as well? Because capex, you said, was only pending capex is only, say, about $350 million, which is, say, about 350 crores.
Mm.
So can we see the debt number actually, say, coming down from that 3,700 crore level?
If you have more cash flow, so there are only three ways. You return that to the shareholders, you reduce, prepay your debt, or the third is that, you know, you plan for you know, your next round of expansion and all that. So I think very difficult to say at this stage what will happen, but what I'm suggesting is, let's look at as to how these facilities, what we've currently set up, come up, stabilize and what numbers they contribute, and that's a better time to, you know, sort of look at this. We are aware of that, you know, in this corporate world, there are only three ways that, you know, you can use excess cash, what you earnings. You can either reinvest into the business, or you can reduce the debt what you have. But actually speaking, reducing the debt won't help much, because a very large, as you said, India total debt is only about 700 odd crores, the term debt. So, you know, that gets repaid each year is about 150, 160 crores. So that's a steady thing which keeps on happening. The overseas debt is actually at a very competitive cost. And that is why, even though the EBITDA margins in the overseas business may be lesser, but the financial risk is much less, because the debt cost is very, very less. So even if, let's say, you make 2 or 3% lower EBITDA margins, but your interest savings after that, while it's a, so we all look at, so used to look at only the EBITDA margins as a reflective of you know, sort of a profitability, but the interest is also a cost to the business. So if I do something in India and that has a much higher risk element because of the higher rate of interest, when the businesses you know, undergo their periodical you know, cycle and all that. So yes, all the three options will be, we'll consider at an appropriate stage, Sunny.
But, and sir, one last question in terms of as and when the new facilities get capitalized, how much do you see the depreciation for the full year going up from 400 crore levels? What should we take as the FY21?
See, a normal facility will cost you about, more or less, say about $80 million. So 5% of that is about $4 million from each facility.
So about 100, approximately 100
million. Yeah, about 100 million. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Thanks for that.
Thank you. So we have next question from the line of Runjun Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead. Please go and ask your question. We can't hear you.
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Gunjan.
Yeah. Sir, what is the CAPEX you have guided for FY21? You said the $50 million is the remaining for those remaining CAPEXes. And another is your maintenance CAPEX around 150 crores or so, if I'm not sure.
100 crores.
100 crores, okay. Mm. And one last thing, sir. You are saying that we are likely to see volume better than this year. Can you provide any guidance or any direction for that?
For what?
For volume, sir.
So as I said that, you know, in the packaging business, we expect a 7-8% volume growth in the current fiscal. On the packaging films, the number will actually depend on, because the existing capacities, as I've been saying always, are more or less, you know, sort of fully utilized. So there the deviation possible is only 1-2%. Normally, because of the Dubai facility closing down, we've been the average volume per annum what we would have lost is about 30,000 tons. So one is that will come back, and then other facilities getting commissioned. Let's say even if a part of the year would also see, but you know, at this point in time, difficult to, you know, sort of put a real number to that. So Dubai will, the Russia will definitely make up for what we lost in Dubai in FY20 is about 2,500 tons is the peak that we can achieve in that plant. And I think we can also achieve about 4,000 tons in, or let's say 3,000 tons to begin with in Poland in Q3, in Q2.
So overall for the year, we can expect additional, in how much incremental films volume, sir?
I think that will depend on other projects being commissioned. As of now, I have visibility of these two.
Okay.
And the others, when they come in Q3, we will really have to look at, at that point in time as to whether we get a part of Q3 or we also only get a part of Q4 only.
And what would be your idea on the sustainability of the current BOPET margins or the BOPP margins? Though BOPP is a very small part of ours, but BOPET, you think that still kind of sustainable, or you think that with the new facilities coming up overseas, you can expect some, moderation in those margins?
No, there can be some impact on the margins. And, ultimately, whatever we do has to be, sort of sustainable. And when we set up those facilities, we had this thing in the mind that, yes, over the many years we had, So if you ask me about my existing business overseas, what is the debt we have currently? We hardly have any debt over there. The only long-term debt outstanding in our offshore business may be under $20, $20 million only or so. I think margins now with the COVID and now with the a lot of businesses want local supplies probably will not get affected to that extent. And also what's happening is that now, like unlike in 2010-11 when the prices went through roof, it is still not, that kind of a euphoria in the business. So let's say if there's $80 million of investment and the annualized EBITDA that you make is about $15 million. So payback is 5.5 years or so, very normal. There's nothing to feel, the payback is 3 years or so. And so I don't really think so that, there'll be a huge impact given that now people want to buy locally. Whenever we do this, as I said, 2011, when the prices of the films jumped, to a level where the payback was 2 years and then a lot of capacity came together at a point in time which resulted in the much lower prices. So those things are not happening. So now whatever is the addition, because the payback is always between 5 to 6 years, it's a well thought out and decision rather than a decision where people say that, there are supernormal profits to be made. So let's get as early as possible to the production and, get the things going. So yes, there might be some impact, but will not be to the extent. And even if it is there, I think it will be short-lived only, maybe about a year or so by the time, the things really get settled with the additional volumes.
That was really helpful, sir. One last suggestion, if I can make. As the earlier one of the participants said that we is a better blended or backward integrated company, having films on our own and supplying packaging on the front end. We have seen many companies on the front end getting hired or multiples, and probably we are not getting there in those levels in terms of valuation. It would be really helpful if we can start looking about differentiating and giving separately the volumes of both the businesses. I think that would give you much more clarity for the investors also to value the company on both different parameters.
See, the moment you start doing that, people want separate profitability, people want separate numbers and all that. And, if you say today also, I would say that, if we do annualized volumes of about 400,000 tons, so largely it is the films only. Packaging we do about, About 20% of this is packaging, and you know, about 80% of this is still in the in the films category, our businesses. So you know, I think numbers, when you start giving them separately and all that, you know, it only adds to more you know, sort of some of the information which you know, at some point in time you just want to be a bit because of the competition, you just want to be a bit you know, cautious also as to how much you should part with and how much you should not. I think generally we have been extremely transparent in terms of giving. I've not seen any company in the packaging space giving their volume numbers, etc., and all that. Even though when they are a pure packaging play companies, packaging films play companies, I've frankly not seen. But we are giving sales numbers, we are giving production numbers, we are giving all other information, whatever we can give over the call and all that. So let's see. I think I'll keep this in mind and see if we can share the separate numbers.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Yusuf Nasrullah, Investor Relations, UFlex Limited, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and we look forward to staying in touch in future quarters. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of UFlex Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining with us, and you may now disconnect your lines.